Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Let's give it up for Darren for setting up a great slideshow. Let's pray. Heavenly Righteous Father, we come before you now. I just want to thank you so much for allowing us to wake up and see another day in your beautiful creation. I pray right now, God, that you be with me and guide me by your spirit as I preach to your people. I pray, God, that you just use me as your tool to make the points you want me to make, God, and make the applications you want me to make, God, and that you are pleased with what is said today. Please encourage your people. I pray that they're inspired, convicted, at the same time, and that you, again, that you guide this message by your spirit. And I pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. So, we are continuing to talk a little bit about peace. Last week, we talked about what peace is. It comes from the Hebrew word shalom, which means completeness, wholeness, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, being blessed, calmness, quietness, restfulness, free from disturbances, free from conflict, and can be used as a greeting. And then we talked about where we can find true peace. And we learned that true peace comes from God, the God of peace. We also learned that peace is something you have to seek and pursue. So we're going to be continuing in that. And after last week, preaching the message about peace, I felt very peaceful. I was walking around telling people shalom. I was giving up peace signs. I was saying, peace be with you, brother and sister. Peace. And then I started to think about my week. And then my peace level just started to drop. And you think that after someone preaches about peace, that they will have peace a little longer than the afternoon. The stress of life doesn't stop just because you talk about peace and know where to find peace. On Monday, soon as I woke up, we had the stress of getting the kids to work, to get the kids to school. And I was in charge of a work event. So that was stressful. I had to think about that and work that out. And I had to remember, you know what? Let me go to God in peace. Let me go to God. He's the God of peace. God, I need peace in this situation. Pray. It worked out. Had some form of peace. Then I went to sleep and woke up on Tuesday. I didn't feel peace. It was the kids just starting to wind down and get ready. We had to prep for the kids to be finished with school. And so we had to make sure... me and my wife work full-time jobs, so the times that they was getting out of school for that day was during our work hours. So I had to take off work, and we had to finagle it. Thank God for Carrie's mother. She came and helped out. And the goal was to just make sure every kid felt special and supported as they accomplished finishing out the school year. We have four kids, and there's really only two of us. So we're outnumbered, So... we have to divide and conquer at times and have to add a little bit of help. But it was kind of a little stressful, a little bit. But God worked it out. The kid we survived another school year. And then we had to prep as a celebration of the kids finishing school. We had to prep for our little mini vacation. We wanted to do a little getaway, right? And, my wife still had to work, so I took the day off again. But when I take days off, it's not days off. It's when the kids are home. It's just still work. But that's besides the point. So we had to get some things for the trip. And I had the great idea of bringing all the kids to the store with me to go and get stuff for the trip. And so we all walk in, and as soon as we get through the door, "Dad, can I get this? Dad, can I get that?" And you talking about four kids saying the same thing nonstop. We haven't been in the store for almost 5 minutes, and they probably asked me like 100 times, "Can I get this? Can I get that?" they started trying stuff on and coming up to me. Dad, can I get this? Look how it looks on me. I said, put that back. What's wrong with you? Put it back. And then they start negotiating. Dad, you know what? I got money at home. If you get this for me, I'll promise I'll pay you back. It doesn't matter. I don't want you to have it anyway. Whether you buy it, you can't have it. Stop negotiating. And then they get indirect with it. Dad, look, it's the candy aisle. It's the candy aisle. I don't care about no candy aisle. No. And then we get to the register and it's just nonstop. And my daughter has the nerve to say, Dad, we ask because you never give us anything. Never? Never. Never. Wow. Never. You want to know what never is? She had the nerve to say never. Wow. Shalom. Shalom. And then, you see, the kids have a strategy. Let me help you out, parents. This is their strategy to get what they really want. So they identify what they want, right? So they bombard you with all these other requests for all these other things, but they don't really want that one. So they wait till you get to the register. They said, Dad, you said no to all these things. But how about this one thing? And you don't want to feel like a bad parent? You said no so many times. And what do? You buy it. They got me again. The same old trick. Peace. Shalom. The kids, man. So, what were we talking about? Peace. Shalom. So what you got to do, right? You got to research what you want at the store. Have the exact change, and then go and get, but that's all I got. I just got the exact change for this one thing. And that's what I gotta do next time. It's all good. I got something for them. So I remember through all these situations, feeling peace, not feeling peace, and saying, God, give me peace. And you know what? When I asked for God to give me peace, I did feel better. It gave me some perspective. Right? About what's really important. But in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In this world, we will have trouble. But in Christ, we can still have peace. Jesus is letting us know that we can still have peace in the midst of the problems we face on earth. We can experience peace when we are bothered by life circumstances. John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Christ leaves us the gift of peace. He gives us his personal peace. He says, my peace I give you. It's a special type of peace that only Jesus can give. He says, my peace. And so we have to figure out, what does that mean? What is Jesus' peace? So the title of today's message is, How to have the peace of Christ in the world of trouble. How to have the peace of Christ in the world of trouble. John 14 and John 16, in those two passages, 14:27 and 16:33, are two of Jesus' most famous sayings about peace. And to understand the full meaning of what those scriptures are saying, we have to understand the full context. And to get the full context of these two passages about peace, you have to read on your own. You have to read John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And that gives you the context of what those passages are really meaning and what was the peace of Christ. Jesus is with his disciples in Jerusalem the night before he's about to die. He begins to tell them about how he is leaving them for a little while, and they're going to experience some painful things while he's gone. And their hearts became troubled. And he tries to calm their troubled hearts by telling them about God's promises so they can have peace. So what are some of the things that Jesus said that caused his disciples' hearts to be troubled? One, Jesus told them that one of them was going to betray him. And they didn't even know who it was. You got to read it on your own. John 13:21 is there. He told them that he was leaving, that he had a little time left with them. And so imagine giving up your whole life to follow Jesus, going through all this pain and suffering and watching these miracles, investing your whole life, and he's telling you, I have to go. It's time for me to leave. They were afraid. In the past, it says their hearts were troubled and afraid. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart. They were afraid. He told Peter that he would disown them three times. Peter said, you know, Lord, Jesus washed his feet. Peter said, wash my head and feet. And Peter said, yo, Lord, I'll die with you. I'll die for you. And Peter said, you're going to disown me three times. That troubled them. They were confused about the things Jesus was telling them in John 15, John 16. They were confused about the things Jesus was telling them. Jesus also told them that the prince of this world, Satan, was coming. Can you imagine Jesus saying, yo, Satan coming. He coming for you. That troubled them. He told them the world will hate them. He told them they will be persecuted and they will be killed by people thinking they were doing a service to God. They were filled with grief and their hearts were troubled. And then it's within this context, Jesus tells them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I have told you these things so you may have peace. You told me these things so I can have peace? Really? What about Jesus? What was his peace then? He was about to die. He knew that he was going to, he knew how he was going to die and when he was going to die. When you know how you're going to die and when you're going to die, a painful death, how can you have peace? Jesus had peace. What about you? How can you have peace and comfort knowing what you're about to suffer? What is your peace? First point, what are Jesus' peace convictions? What are Jesus' peace convictions? Jesus was secure, number one. Jesus was secure in his eternal destination. Many times in John 13, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I am going to the Father. John 13, verse 3, Jesus knew that he was going to the Father and the Father put all things under him. John 16, because I am going to the Father. John 16 again, I come from the Father and into the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. What about you? Are you secure in your eternal destination? When you die as a disciple, you are going back to your Father. You have peace with God. You are not condemned, but you're saved. Some people have troubled hearts because they don't know where they're going when they die. They have troubled hearts. They doubt. Do you have the conviction that you are going to be with your Father in heaven when you die? If you are a baptized disciple in Christ, you are going to be with your Father. And that's why Jesus told them in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. So Jesus is telling them, look, don't be troubled. As long as you remain in me, you're good. I have a place for you. Peace be with you. That was his conviction. Jesus was secure in his eternal destination. If you are not sure, you better ask somebody. You better ask somebody. You in the right place. Get help. Be confident. Make it your conviction. Number two, Jesus had peace because he was confident in his connection to the Father. He was completely unified with God. He was completely unified with his Father. John 14, verse 10 to 11. Jesus said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? John 17, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. Jesus' peace came from his confidence in being unified with his Father. Everything he did, God was involved. How he spoke, God was involved. How he served, God was involved. How he lived and all he'd done on earth, God was involved. He was connected. He was confident. Are you confident in your connection with God? Does God guide you in how you talk, how you act, how you interact, how you handle your emotions? Jesus was unified with his Father, connected, and was one with his Father, and it brought him peace. You can have that same peace. Number three, Jesus' peace came from his confidence and God's love for him. John 15, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved the Father. He said, as the Father has loved me. Jesus said in John 16, all that belongs to the Father is mine. God gave Jesus everything. What did God have to give? Everything. How much trust and love do you have to have in somebody to give them everything? I barely want to give my kids my food. I barely want to give them my food. But God the Father gave Jesus everything. Jesus' conviction and his God's love for him was rock solid. That brought him peace. What about you? Are you confident in God's love for you? Psalms 25, verse 10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. All God's ways are loving. You still don't believe he loves you, do you? John 3, verse 16, what does Jesus say? For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God showed his love to Jesus by giving him everything. God showed his love to us by giving us Jesus. Are you confident in God's love for you? Peace in all circumstances starts in your confidence in God's love for you. That's what it was for Jesus. That's how he had his peace. Jesus' confidence and peace came from his access to the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Because multiple times in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit being given to his disciples. And that the Holy Spirit was going to comfort them. That's what was going to comfort them, the Holy Spirit. Why do I know Jesus knew about the Holy Spirit and how much it would comfort him? How much it would comfort his disciples? Because Jesus was comforted by that same Holy Spirit. Guess what? He was born from the Holy Spirit. He had access to the Holy Spirit. We can have that same access as baptized disciples. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Do you believe that? Having the Holy Spirit gave Jesus peace, and he's given us that same Holy Spirit to give us peace in this world. Jesus' peace and confidence came from his conviction in God's sovereignty and control. And God's sovereignty and control. Right before he was about to die, he was before Pilate. He was before Pilate, and he was silent. And Pilate was so used to people being afraid, begging for their life. And Jesus was shalom. He was shalom. Why? Pilate was frustrated. Don't you realize I have the power to save you? Jesus said, save me from what? Save me from you. Save me from what? You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Jesus was confident in God's control. Save me from what? I'm already saved. There's nothing you can do to me. When you realize that God is in control of everything, and that he loves you, and that things happen because he allowed it to happen or he caused it to happen. It's happening for a reason. It's a bigger picture here that's even bigger than you. But as long as you're saved, you're good. Shalom. Matthew 10, verse 28 to 30, it says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of their father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. That's not a lot for me. That's an easy job. I can count the hairs on my head. Rome, you're laughing too hard, Rome. God is in total control. Things happen because he allows it to happen. The hairs in your head are numbered. The point is that Jesus was at peace because God is in control. He knew that God loved him, and that whatever was happening was part of God's plan. Do you believe that? When you're going through trials and tribulations, do you believe that it's part of God's plan? Last week we talked about how when we endure hardships, that God is disciplining us. Why? Because God disciplines those he loves. We can be at peace in hardships because we got to trust God's love. And this was some of the things that gave Christ peace. He said, my peace I give you. Colossians 3, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. See, that's part of being at peace, being thankful. Looking for the blessings. Searching for the blessings. Communicating the blessings to God. Our goal as disciples is to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. That's the goal. Amen. Second point, how can we gain access to this peace as disciples? How can we gain access to this peace as disciples? Number one, trust in God. Trust in God. It's real simple. Trust in God. It's real simple but hard. Isaiah 26, verse 3 to 4. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Romans 8, 15 to 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Peace, trust, trust, peace. And there is a connection. Why? Why trust God? Even when you don't understand that things are happening to you, why still trust God? I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. In Isaiah 55, I don't understand what's going on. Isaiah 55 says this: For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. See, you don't have to understand, and you're not going to understand sometimes, but God still asks you to trust him, even when you don't understand. Because you got to trust his love for you, and that he's working the bigger picture. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, what does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Do you believe that when you are going through trials and tribulations? It's hard. It's hard. It was hard for Jesus. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying in that war with his flesh, he said, God, I can't do it. God, I'm so overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. If it's possible, please take this cup away from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. He still struggled. His disciples let him down. He came back and prayed again. When he came back again, his disciples fell asleep. Then he came back and prayed again. So he got to a point where he was at peace. You see, we got to pray like Jesus in the midst of suffering to have peace. Are you praying like Jesus in the midst of your suffering? Trouble's going to come. It came for Jesus. See, Jesus was good with God. He was at peace with God. But the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh was weak. And if Jesus had to fight, so he was at peace with God. But in that garden, the peace of God was a battle. And he had to pray and pray and pray to not wanting to do it, to eventually saying, rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. He was ready. He was at peace. We have to pray like Jesus if we want to have peace in this world of trouble. Does that make sense? Third point. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but it's being in the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of trouble. I stole that somewhere from a writer. Somebody said it. It wasn't me. I stole it. But I liked it. I think it was great. Don't you think it's great? You know, tomorrow is Juneteenth. Tomorrow is Juneteenth. And so, to give you a little background on Juneteenth, you know, the slaves were set free by Abraham Lincoln. There was a war going on, and the North won the war. But even when the North won the war, there were some states in the South that still was trying to hold on to slavery. And the word didn't get out. It wasn't no TV back then. It wasn't no mail back then because there was war going on. Mailmen were getting killed. So nobody knew if you was on the other side of the country and stuff happened, it took a while for it to get to you. So after the North had won, the generals had to go and march throughout the South to let the other slaves know that they were free, because they didn't know. So you had one part of the country of slaves that were free. Then you had another part of the country of slaves that still thought slavery was happening and that was going to be a part of their life forever. And then there was this one general, Gordon Granger. He marched his troops into Galveston, Texas on June 19th. And he announced that all enslaved people are officially free. They were free from suffering through slavery. Hallelujah. They finally had a form of peace. And this came due to the presence of this general. The slaves felt safe. The masters couldn't do anything. Why? Because the presence of the general. They were confident, the slaves. They were at peace. Because the presence of the general. They felt safe, secure. In the same way, Jesus brings that for us. Jesus brings that for us. In John 20, I'm going to just talk about it. You got to read it for yourself. John 20, verse 19 to 20. Jesus had died. And the disciples were afraid. They were hiding behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jews. Then out of nowhere, Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and sides. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. See, they were afraid. The situation was bad. They thought they was going to die. They were in dire circumstances. But it wasn't until the presence of Jesus that they finally had peace, that they finally had joy. You see, peace comes from being in the presence of God. So some of the disciples saw Jesus, and they were telling people, "Yo, I just saw Jesus. We saw Jesus. Jesus is back." And then your man Thomas the doubter, "You saw, I didn't see Jesus." Everybody was filled with joy. Everybody else had peace. But Thomas didn't have peace. He needed to see Jesus for himself. And then what happened? A week later, his disciples were in the house again. And Thomas was with them. And then out of nowhere, pow! They hear the words, "Peace be with you." And Thomas turns around and looks at Jesus. He said, "My God, my Lord, my God." And Jesus rubbed it in a little bit. "Look at my hands, Thomas, touch them. Look at my side, Thomas. Stop doubting and believe." So you gotta believe in the presence of Jesus. You gotta trust in the presence of Jesus. You gotta have faith in the presence of Jesus. Thomas didn't have peace. The disciples didn't have peace. The slaves didn't have peace. But it was the presence of God that brought them peace. How do you get into the presence of God? Do your personal Bible study? Have you really connected with God this week? Can you really say you've been in the presence of God? Connecting to God through prayer? Through the fellowship? That's the presence. When Paul was persecuting the church and Jesus appeared to Paul, Jesus didn't say, "Why are you persecuting the church, Paul?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" The church is the presence of God. The presence of God is in the church, the fellowship. Are you committed? Are you dedicated? How's it going with building your relationships this year, this week? Connecting with other disciples. Being open, being vulnerable, confessing sin. Vulnerability. Bringing other people into the presence of God. How's it going? You know, the disciples in this time, as we close out, the disciples, they were afraid. Being afraid can stop you fulfilling the presence of God. Because sometimes God is going to call us to experience things, to grow in our faith. And instead of experiencing those hardships, we choose to not do it. We choose to disconnect. And we don't grow. And we don't feel the presence of God. And so it's not until we embrace our fears and step out on faith that we can truly feel the presence of God. Now, Thomas had felt abandoned by Christ. He was with Christ. He felt abandoned by Christ. Some of us, I know for me, I might have felt abandoned by my father. He wasn't around. My father was not around growing up. He was alive. But he wasn't present. He was alive, but he wasn't present. And so Jesus can relate. Jesus can relate to being afraid when he was in the garden. Jesus can relate to being abandoned. Because even he said it in John 16, verse 32, it said, "A time is coming, in fact, what has now come, when all of you will be scattered, each of you to your own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet, I am not alone, for my Father is with me." Jesus had peace in the presence of God. We can have peace in the presence of God. So when you're going through your troubles, because Jesus tells us, right? In this world, you're going to have trouble. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But stay connected to God. Rely on the Holy Spirit. Work your way into the presence of God through your personal times with him. Pray when you're going through hardships like Jesus prayed in the garden. God loves you. He loves you more than you can know. If you don't hear anything today, understand how much God loves you. Let that alone give you peace in every situation. And as I close out with this scripture, John 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. 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 Thank you.